Most men dissipate 75% of their power by not having poise, calmness. For instance, if you go into a bank, you'll find some clerk buried under a pile of papers and pencils and paper mates and ink all over the floor and over their fingers and their hair disheveled and, oh, they're busy. You feel so sorry for them, and yet they accomplish nothing practically. When the day is done, they just fool themselves thinking that they did a lot of work. There's a radio shop near here. Whenever I go in there and say, oh, dear me, does that man ever accomplish anything? The desk full of wires, full of screwdrivers, full of nuts. Why, and if you want to find something, you can't. You've got to climb over a mountain of wires and nuts first before you can find a little screw that you need for your radio. He's working hard, and the fellow's sick, his liver's sick, naturally. His stomach's on the blink. And yet, he looks as if he was very busy. When he sits down, he wants to rest. He'll be sure to sit on a screwdriver, something that he threw on the chair instead of putting it where it belongs. Well, that's dissipation of power. But you go into a bank and you ask for the president, the man that really runs the whole thing and is responsible for results. And what do you find? A man perfectly poised and calm. Nice and easy to talk to. You look at his desk and you think he never has anything to do. Every book is in its place. Every pencil is just where it belongs. Does he write? Yes. When he gets through writing, that pencil goes back. It's not in his way. And when he gets through looking up a book, he'll take the book and he'll look up what he needs to know, and he doesn't throw it on the floor or on a chair, but he puts it back in his shelf where it belongs. And thereby he preserves and he conserves power and energy for the real job of managing. In other words, he manages. Most of us are being managed by our work. We're drowned by it. We forget. We do one job and forget the other job. But oh, the blessing of being composed and being hid with Christ in God and letting Christ really run us, possess us as an instrument that he works through and he works by. And Pentecostal people are like that. Woman came to us and she said, my, this is a dead place. Our preachers are on their feet all the time. Well, I guess that's about all they had, jumping up and down. That's power. You dissipate your power that way. Did you ever see a cat catching a mouse? I like that picture. A cat's full of energy. It's all atomic energy. But that cat purrs so sweetly, as if there never was anything to do but to warm herself by the stove, and he just parks herself or himself, herself most of the time, near the hole where the mouse went in. And he doesn't run around that hole to look and to see whether the mouse is coming and whistle for the mouse. Oh no, that mouse is bound to come out, come up for air sometime. So the cat preserves her power, her strength, and just waits and purrs. Or maybe she'll turn off her motor for a while so not to scare the mouse. Just as calm, you know, with a nice silk ribbon around her neck, blinking with her eyes. You go by that cat, you think she'd never have anything to do, and all at once, one spring, and the mouse is caught. He preserved all his strength for that moment. By our fidgetiness and by our nervousness, we waste our energy, we waste our powers. We do. I had to learn that in the jewelry business. I wasn't taught that in my home. My goodness, my mother and the Swiss women, they thought, you know, It was a great virtue to appear busy. They didn't believe in using a wash machine. Oh, no, goodness, one woman said to me, who do you think I am? Do you think I'm so lazy? No, she wanted to have holes in her knuckles that she'd rub through on the washboard. And they always lost their grace when they had to do the wash. Everybody, even cats and dogs, had to run for it because these poor women worked so hard. After a while, they found out that with a wash machine, they didn't have to work at all. They just sat in the rocking chair, and the wash machine did everything, even hang it on the line after a while. Why, beloved, there's no virtue in working. It's in getting things done. Praise the Lord. If you go to work for God with the idea of getting things done, you'll find out that without Him, you can't do nothing. You can't even think straight without Him. You try to run God's business, and you'll certainly make an awful job of it. But waiting upon the Lord, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. He says, don't meditate. It'll be given you in the same hour. But I had to learn that in the jewelry business. We used to work and work day and 2 days, and then finally had to start all over again because we'd forgotten something somewhere. And then a workman came along. He sat right next to me. That was my salvation. I was an apprentice still. I watched him. He was given a design of a beautiful diamond-studded brooch, platinum brooch, very valuable job. And he sat down, and he whistled a song, or he sang a song. He had a good voice. It was in Italian. Some aria from Aida. Got everybody's goat with his singing. But he'd just sit there, you know, as if he had nothing to do, just looking at that design. Just like this. He'd sit there a half an hour and look at that design. And I said, my goodness, what is he doing? Well, by the time he had looked at it for a half an hour, he knew exactly what to do, how to do it, what tools he needed, what step to take first, how to go about it. And in 3 hours' time, that man had done what it would take in most of us a week. I remember how all the men in the shop came running together and looking at that man. And everything so clean, his file pin was so clean. And everything so calm. Oh, what fools we are when we don't use our brains. I mean, spiritually speaking, we ought to think. We ought to let God think for us. Now, that's been the life of this work for 35 years. It's been waiting upon the Lord. Because we know we can't do nothing. We can't do anything right. But we know He can. We know we're in His employ. We know that God has made the plan for us and for this work, both in Germany and in Austria and here. And we've never dared make a plan of our own or take a step of our own. And if I were to tell you what's happened, how marvelously God has gone before while we rested in Him. That was our job, to labor, to enter into rest. We don't know how we dissipate and how we waste God's time by not letting go and letting God, and recognizing that after all, we're just instruments. We're vessels sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And if we're for His use, then He must do the planning. He must do the thinking and the scheming and the equipment. And He must work it out. And I know people look at this work askance and they don't know what it's all about. But, you know, the very things that we see are so miraculous, are so marvelous that I don't dare talk about it because critics, of course, they're moved by the devil. They would never see the sense of it. But God wants us all to learn our lesson. God wants us to get into the stream that flows like a river. Every joy or trial is provided for, is planned by God, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. Let yourself get a little bit nervous and you're licked. You're out of God. You lose that contact with heaven. I think we can learn a lot from the world. It would be so good if we did. It would be so good if we as children of God would learn all we can learn from the world. We have some businessmen in Germany, Brother Narr. He has quite a factory. When you go into his factory, you marvel at the cleanliness. It's as clean as a dollhouse. Inside and outside, every machine shines. Everything is taken care of perfectly. Well, that goes for production. Then you go into some shop of a Christian, and what do you see? Shambles. No sense, no brains, no plan. But God would teach us all these things. God Himself would teach us. I know what I'm talking about because, naturally speaking, I was a nervous creature. Like someone said, I did 20 things instead of one. But since I came to God, He's taken all things out of my hands. Everything. Everything. Thank God. And He has managed. And I know some people don't like it. But I like it. And God likes it. And oh, if God could teach all of His servants and could teach me better this wonderful lesson to bother about nobody, about nothing, but to be perfectly abandoned to Jesus. It takes real faith. Why, God knows what He's about. God knows what to do. Right in this present situation, God knows. But if I get nervous about it, I spoil it for God. Then I've got a fight on my hands. And that's where all our fighting comes from. And that's where all our dissipation comes from. And God would have us be machines, batteries, vessels, charged with His power, with no non-conductor to stop that flow of the power of God. And when you do that, He'll never ask you to do something you don't have time for. Now, I know this talk is hard to take, and it's hard to give. But some people work and work and work and tell themselves to a frazzle. They have no business doing that. You'd accomplish 5 times more in 5 times less time if you'd let God do it. But the trouble is, we like to have the credit.